Luke chapter 10. I'm sure glad you're here.
Amen.
If you hadn't made it this morning, I would have anybody to speak to. And I love to do what I do. I really love to sing, but I can't hardly sing anymore. I don't know if it's ruined my voice preaching, but I do love to sing, but I love to preach, love to teach. Let's begin at verse 13. Luke 10, 13. I covered 13, 14, and 15 last January the 30th. But let's start back to get the picture of what we're saying here. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which had been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you heareth me. He that despiseth you despiseth me. He that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whomever the Son will reveal him. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you today that we have such an opportunity to gather together in freedom without fear of persecution or such blessings that have been given to us. We thank you for the heritage that this country has that's brought to us such freedom and such knowledge. And Lord, we just want to praise your name for it today. Give me a freedom and ease to speak as only you can give, and then take your word and touch every heart and life that's here. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm thankful y'all got some rain. I haven't got any yet. I'm looking forward to it. My ground is cracked. So I would love to have your couple of inches of rain, but my wife's not living right. If I could get her right with the Lord, maybe I'd get some rain up there on that place. Such is life. Woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. That is one of the most thought-provoking sentences in the Word of God. What if? What if? Now, Jesus tells you what would happen. Tyre and Sidon, wicked, wicked cities, destroyed by God. Tyre and Sidon, good night. God Almighty's overlooked and passed by, heathen, worth nothing, headed for hell. He said they would have repented if he would have done in them what he did in Chorazin and Bethsaida. He said, if I had performed my miracles there, they would have been sitting, they'd taken off all their glad rags. They wouldn't have had no Sunday clothes on. They'd had the old sackcloth. Now, some of you aren't old enough to have gone through the Depression, but people actually made dresses out of flour sacks. And they used everything, whatever they could get. Had a guy getting out of prison, and he was wanting to know if we were going to help him buy some clothes and buy him a car and do a bunch of stuff like that. And I said, no, I said, it's a real simple thing. I said, just get you a job on the bus route and live on the bus route. Then just get on the bus, go to work, get on the bus, and go home. No problem. And then when you get enough money, you can buy your own car. Whatever clothes. Well, see, sometimes this generation doesn't understand something like that. When I was a missionary, I didn't stay in motels. I couldn't. There was no way for us to afford it. I had a guy call me up one night, and he wanted me to put his family, he's heading for Corpus, got a job down there, and he said, oh, I mean, my lights are out on my car, and I need you to buy me a meal and put my family up in a motel and whatever. See, I'm not real easy on people like that. I'm sorry, I'm probably going to suffer some things at the throne of God because I didn't help the right people. But I just despise bums. I just have a real problem with bums. And I said, well, I'll tell you what you do. Why don't you just sit down over there by that the big truck stop where he was. And I said, I know that truck stop over there. It's lighted all night long. You'll be safe right there. You and your family just go to sleep in the car. And morning when the light comes on, you can drive on the way to Corpus. And a little fasting might do you some good. Why, you sorry so-and-so. And he began to cuss me out and tell me everything, you know. I said, look, I have taken my family with my kids and slept on the ground across Mexico 10 times. 10 different trips, that's probably about 30 or 40 nights. Slept on the ground right outside by the road or down by a river because I didn't have enough money to pay for a motel. He called me a liar, but I wasn't a liar. Now my wife and my little kids slept out on the side of the road and get woke up by guys with machetes going to the fields to work in the morning, and then they get up and leave. Drive on. We don't sometimes understand how blessed we are, do we? We really don't understand how blessed we are. Bethsaida and Chorazin didn't understand how blessed they were. In fact, they took it for granted and just ignored it. Isn't that something? He said, if I'd have done in Tyre and Sidon what I did in you, they'd have repented a long time ago. Have you thought about the mercies of God that have come your way and you should be repentant? Instead of complaining and murmuring and griping, we're the biggest bunch of babies probably the world has ever seen. We're so spoiled. We've had so many things go our way. We don't know what a hard time is. Oh, we think we do. But we don't know what a hard time is. You may learn. You may. I hope you don't. I got some friends praying for depression, but I'm not. I don't want to see it again. What little I saw of it, I don't ever want to see it again. He said they would have repented a great while ago. Maybe you should be repenting. As blessed as you've been, as much of the Word of God has been preached to you, as much as if you've got in your hands, how God has let you see such great truths, and you sit around with a complaining, feel sorry for yourself attitude, wondering why God doesn't give you this or doesn't give you that, maybe you don't need it. You know what I'll bet? I'll bet you've got exactly what God thinks you need right now. If I were still a betting man, I'd give you odds on that one. I'd bet you that God Almighty has you in a place He wants you right now to bring you close to Him. Instead of you fighting and complaining, feeling sorry for yourself, crying all night long, maybe you ought to thank God and pray. Maybe you ought to do some repenting. Anyway, he said it'll be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. Hey, Chorazin, Bethsaida, Christ walked in your streets, performed miracles in your streets, and yet it's going to be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon than for you when the judgment time comes? Do you reckon it might be more tolerable for Russia or China or South America than for America when the time of judgment comes? I would say from what he's saying right here, that's probably true. Now, thou Capernaum, this is his hometown. This is where he set up operations. He's preaching all over the country and coming back to Capernaum. This is hometown. This is San Antonio. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven. How were they exalted to heaven? They had Christ living in their midst. They had all the apostles dropping in all the time. They're in and out, back and forth. Can you imagine? Can you imagine walking with Peter and John and Andrew and James? Can you imagine? Man, as a young preacher, you know what I wanted? I didn't want to go to some college somewhere. I wanted some great man of God that I could get close to. I didn't have any, but I wanted one. They had Christ, and they had all the disciples. And this is hometown for 3 years. I'll tell you something. Thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shalt be thrust down to hell. Now, here is a statement. Pay attention to verse 16. He that heareth you, heareth me. He that despiseth you, despiseth me. See, I know these things. I've read them so many times. They're sort of in the back of my head. Even on my bad days, they're still in the back of my head. And I walk up to a house and I talk to somebody and they just blow it off. Blow me off, blow the message off. And I walk away from that house and the thought hits my mind. They don't know who visited them today. They simply do not know who visited them today. What a tragedy. That's put me in a mood to pray, and I've prayed some prayers as I walked away from a place. Because these poor people are ignorant that it's not me and my idea and some thing I'm trying to promote or money I'm trying to get. I've been accused of everything under the sun. You can't preach 42 years and stand for anything and not be accused of every kind of thing there is. I've had people come back and say, my children weren't my children. Verlinged by another man. I've had, man, I was mad enough to fight. They wouldn't give me the name on that one. I said, you just tell me his name. I'll go face him down. We'll talk this out. Preacher, no preacher. We'll go talk this out. I get mad sometimes. Every once in a while, I get upset. I haven't quit Jesus because I got upset. Yeah, I've quit a few people because I got upset. Told a fellow a while back, I said, you know, I believe you're saved and I'm going to enjoy heaven with you for eternity, but I don't ever see your face on the earth again. May not be real Christian, but it was Lindell. I'm not saying that's Bible. I'm saying sometimes we do get mad at some people and you go over and over and over and they stab you in the back 15 times and they don't ever say repent. They don't ever say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. He that heareth you, heareth me. Now that ought to give you a little more power in your preaching. That ought to give you, if you just take that for face value, he that heareth you, heareth me. Now there are days, I have my good days and my bad days, like bad hair days and good hair days. I stopped all the bad hair days. I don't ever have a bad hair day. My hair is always good. Oh, I love it. Wouldn't trade with you guys with all your wavy curls. Wouldn't trade at all. No. I just do once a week is all I ever mess with this. But I have my bad days. On my bad days when I'm still preaching the truth of the Word of God, you better pay attention. You know that? You better pay attention if it's the Word of God. He that heareth you, heareth me. How about he that despiseth you? Good night. These guys that go out and knock on doors, girls and guys that go out and knock on doors, go out and preach in the streets or go to the mission field or wherever, they get despised. They have people just want to cuss and spit when they walk up and knock on the door. They have people want to sick the dogs on them. They have people that just call them all sorts of things and accuse them of all sorts of things. It happens all the time. Do you know when they despise you, they're despising Jesus? Get this down. Because you, as a servant of the Lord, you as a born-again Christian, you as a witness for Christ, you walk out there with power. It may not seem like it to you. Oh, you feel so powerless, you feel so weak, you feel like you're doing nothing. But all what you're doing is spreading the Word of God, and the Word of God is going to bring either blessing or condemnation. Guaranteed. He said, my word shall not return unto me void, it shall accomplish that which I please. You put the Word of God out, it is going to accomplish what God pleases. It may not accomplish what you please. I've had some people I prayed for that didn't get saved. I've had some people I witnessed to didn't get saved. In fact, most of the people I counsel don't listen to me. Don't pay a bit of attention. 5 minutes after I leave the place, they don't care what I said. And what I said wasn't what my opinion most of the time, it's just the Word of God. I don't really value my opinion that much. I do value what God says. I know my opinions are colored by where I was raised, who raised me, who my friends were, and the way I think and my own selfishness and a whole lot of things like that. All that color my opinions. But it doesn't color the Word of God. He that despiseth you despiseth me. Now then, let's go a step further. And he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. You know the real rebellion? You know the real problem? It's not with you. It's not your red hair, Tim. It's not your bald head. I mean, it's not because you don't have any teeth or because you got bad breath. It's not because you're fat or skinny. They don't want God. You know the reason why they reject you? They don't want God. When I first started preaching years ago, many, many families... We could have a big Sunday school because many, many families, even though the husband and wife did not want to go to church and did not want any restrictions on their life, they wanted their kids at least raised in church. After a while, when we came back from Guatemala, and some things had changed, and they definitely changed from the time we went to Guatemala and the time we came back. We had family, had mothers tell us, no, I'm not letting my child go to your Sunday school. Why is that? Because you'll teach her that what I'm doing is wrong, and she'll come back here and tell me I'm wrong. Boy, what an attitude change. They despise God. They don't even want their kids to live right. That's a tragedy. But that is America today. The proliferation of every kind of sect and belief and whatever. And many of them, such as Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons, that do actually really knock on doors. Maybe more faithfully than we do. Has got people to where they just don't want anything. They're not willing to listen to the truth because they don't know what's the truth. They don't know one from another. But the problem is, if you don't get the messenger, if you don't accept the messenger, you don't get the message. You don't get the message, you don't get God. And that's the problem. You say, I don't like the messenger. I wonder how much Eli liked having to listen to a little boy by the name of Samuel. Now, he might have been weaned when he was 7. I'm not too sure how long that mother kept nursing him. I have heard, I've known of children being nursed till they were 7 years old. That's a little bit long. I think my mama nursed me to 18 months. They didn't have a lot of bottles and formulas in my day. But you better watch out when you despise the messenger. Had some young preachers around here. They're out on the mission field now, but they were young preachers, 18, 19, 20 years old. And they were preaching, and some of the old people sitting back in the church, you know, and feeling like they were great Christians. Had them call me on the phone. Did you hear what so-and-so said? Yeah, I heard what he said. Said it straight from the Word of God. Well, I didn't like what he said. You going to shut him up? No, I'm not going to shut him up. I'm going to tell him to preach some more like that. Well, if you don't shut him up, I'm leaving. I said, I hope you find a nice place. You better watch out when you despise the messenger. You better not look down your nose at the messenger simply because he doesn't have maturity or old age or bald head or a fat gut or something else. You better pay attention to the message. Because the messenger might be giving you the message of God, and that's important. If we're not here to reach God, let's just burn the thing down or sell it and give it away and buy food for the hungry. All go fishing. We're here to please God. If that's not our purpose, we're in deep trouble. The only real purpose in prayer is to reach God. If you don't reach God with your prayers, it has been a wasted exercise. You see, the messenger and the message get us in contact with the one that sent it. And that's the important thing. All salvation comes from God. No church can save you. No preacher can save you. No messenger can save you. God does the saving. Without Him, there is no salvation. Oh, don't despise the messenger. But that's what a lot of people do today. Very many people despise the messenger. They haven't taken the time to check out the message. Now, that's what you need to do. You always need to check out the message. There's lots of messengers out there. What are they talking about? Some African cult that's killed more than Jim Jones' cult? Over 920 people already dead. Either mass suicide or mass murder. There are lots of bad messengers out there. And see, if those people in that Jim Jones thing, I don't know enough about this African thing yet to know even where it has, might not even be Christian, probably not even Christian, I don't know. But when Jim Jones sat down in his pulpit at the front of the church with his dark sunglasses on, high on dope, and said, I'm God, that's when I'd have got up and walked out. I'd have said, ooh, I'm scared of this place. Lightning going to fall. I mean, you know, something going to happen here. I don't want to be too close to you. Adios, hasta luego, hasty banana. I'm gone. He that despiseth him that sent me. Look at verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Isn't it good to feel a little success? Woo! Oh, it feels so good when you've had some dry times and some dry... And by the way, don't get too discouraged with dry times. As the rain comes in seasons and the cold and the heat come in seasons, so success and failure come in seasons. Good times and bad times. If you have been having good times for the last 5 years, praise the Lord, but you got bad times coming. I mean, the seasons are going to change. Everything been real successful? It's not because you're so great. It's not because you're doing everything right. It's not because you've got the key to the formula. No. But listen, it's seasonal. It's seasonal. And by the way, the same thing goes. You're in pain right now. You hurting mentally, physically. You got troubles. It's seasonal. You can ride your... I just talked to a preacher friend of mine, and he was going through some troubles. He's aged to be my son. And we were talking. I said, well, I'm going through the same thing. He said, well, you know, don't take this wrong, but it makes me feel better that you're going through the same thing. I said, I understand. Believe me, I do understand. Misery loves company. It's sort of nice to know that I haven't been singled out. I'm not the only one that's having this trouble. Yeah, praise the Lord. Well, the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Now, man, you talk about feeling powerful. Woo! I spoke and the devils moved. I mean, I brought the name of Jesus out and you ought to have seen them flee. Hey, that's good. That's good stuff. And Jesus is happy about it too. Look at verse 18. He said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. You know what he's doing? He's looking forward still to the future today, because you see, Satan hasn't fallen from heaven yet. But there is. Look over in the book of Revelation. He will fall. Not his last fall, his third fall. He will fall from heaven to the earth, and then he'll go into the bottomless pit years later. Yeah, I've seen Satan. He's saying, victory. Man, that's beautiful. That's wonderful. Then he said, verse 19, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That sounds like an awful lot of power. Now, when Jesus leaves in the last part of the book of Mark, verses about 9 through 16, Jesus makes some more prophecies just like this. Some people say, well, that must mean those guys that are handling rattlesnakes up there in Kentucky are right. No, they're just wrong as wrong can be. These were signs of an apostle. And you want to go and handle rattlesnakes? I don't care. It doesn't bother me a bit. Just I'm not going to handle rattlesnakes to prove my faith to you. In fact, I got enough faith in a rattlesnake bite that it'd probably kill me. When I see a rattlesnake, I kill it. I remember one day I was pastoring in West Texas, and I won an old farmer to the Lord. He got on his knees and got saved, and I killed about a 5-foot rattlesnake on the side of the road. Boy, what a good day. Kill a snake and win a soul. Boy, all in the same time. Woo! That was a good day. He said, I'm going to give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy. Do you think these apostles had power? Let me tell you what. Peter's shadow walking by, falling over somebody that's sick, he'd get healed. Take a handkerchief. Just take a handkerchief. And take it and just lay it on that person that's sick. Man, he's healed. Paul's reaching down there. He's a prisoner. Paul's a prisoner. He's on this island. A bunch of natives look around and say, oh, look at that prisoner. He must be some terrible fellow. Awful fellow. Terrible fellow. And he's up there picking up sticks and a viper, an adder, a poisonous snake reach out. Hits him. He just shakes it off into the fire. Puts some more sticks on the fire. He doesn't even bother about it. Then the natives would say, he's a god, he's a god. My, he's a god. See, it all happened. It happened. These were the signs of an apostle. You try that today, you're a dead man. Just try that today. Go ahead if you want to. Go and try it. Don't make a difference to me. I'm not connected to you too well. Just don't have me in the car when you try it. I don't want to be riding your train when you decide to try that. But this did happen, and these are the signs of an apostle. And these men went out. They had power over the devil. They had power over scorpions. They had power over snakes and whatever. Not necessarily that you have that now. But look what he says to them. Even these men, verse 20. Here's another one of those key verses. Verse 16 is a tremendous verse. This one is a tremendous verse. Verse 20. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Hey, have you got your priorities right? Do you know what's really important? Oh, I'm going to rejoice. I've got so much power. I preach and people listen. Oh, boy. I go out and witness and souls get saved. Man, I just told that devil to get up and get out of there. He said, don't rejoice in that. That's no big deal. What should you rejoice in? That your name's written in heaven. Is your name written in heaven? You got something to rejoice about. You've been complaining about your car. You're so frustrated about your car. You're frustrated about your roof. You're frustrated about your house. You're frustrated about your plumbing. You're frustrated about your boyfriend or girlfriend. You're frustrated about your kids. Yeah, all these things are frustrating. I've had all of them. They're all frustrating. Amanda, I was doing something for Amanda one day. It was about college or something. It was a little bit out of the way. And she said, well, I'm sorry to be so much trouble. I said, everybody's trouble, Amanda. My sister said, you really didn't tell her that, did you? I said, of course I did. Sure, you're trouble, Amanda. Every kid I ever had was trouble. Every grandkid I got was trouble. My wife is trouble. You're trouble. And Solomon knew it. He said, where no oxen are, the crib is clean. You don't have to clean out a crib where you don't have an ox in there. But much increase is by the strength of the ox. Sort of nice to clean the crib because that means you got oxen around you can do the plowing with instead of you hooking up the wife to the plow, you know. Whew, isn't it fun to be married 45 years? Whew, that's fun and games. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. How big is that? How big is that? You sorry old so-and-so, and God's got your name written in heaven. You deserve to go there? No. We just start adding up a few of your sins. We know you didn't deserve to go there. We just look at you before you got saved. You're bad enough now. We look at you now, we'd probably kick you out. You're lucky we don't examine you too closely around here. We probably wouldn't want your company. Your names are written in heaven. Are you saved? Good night. You ought to be the most rejoicing people that ever lived. You ought to be. Why aren't you? Because your attitude's wrong. Get your priorities straight. Get your eyes off the wrong thing. Put them on the right thing. Oh, Lord, I'm so powerful. Devils, listen to me. He said, no. Is your name written or something? Why in the world God would pick you out? I haven't a clue. But your name is written in heaven. Steve Dalross never shaves. You talk about lazy, he never shaves. It's getting gray and ugly, brother. Have you heard about this coloring for men? My name's written in heaven. You know what? In the first 5 or 10 years I preached, I almost couldn't give an invitation without crying. Just the greatness of salvation. I got saved. My sins were forgiven. I've been a little bit on the wild and rough side. And God saved my soul and changed my life. And I was on the road to heaven. I didn't deserve to go to heaven. As hard as I worked, and I worked hard. I've been a hard worker most of my life. I'm not as hard now anymore. In fact, I do one thing. I said, I've done that for the day. That's all I need to do. Got out of bed. I mean, that was probably a big enough job for me today. But my name's written in heaven. By the grace of God, by His great wonderful salvation, He picked me. Oh yeah. I called on His name one day, but you know, somebody had told me that God would hear a repentant sinner. That God, that's the limit of my real gospel doctrinal knowledge. There's a God in heaven who is a merciful God. And He will hear a sincere sinner who repents. And I know you've heard about that trailer house in Rawls, New Mexico. It's not very important to you, but it's important to me. Woo! God met me in the front bedroom of a trailer house in Rawls, New Mexico. And my name was written in heaven. What do you order rejoice in? I'm still, 42 and a half years later, I'm still rejoicing that my name is written in heaven. That's what Jesus is telling them here. Get your priorities right. Oh, I just bought a new car. Oh, I'm so happy. God's so good. Well, what if the hail comes on your new car? Just did on mine. My new car. Boom, 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 boom. You know. Got these little dents all over the top of it. Not worth near as much as it was when I paid for it. But my name's written in heaven. Get your priorities straight. You can praise God in a jail cell if your priorities are straight. You can praise God in a cancer ward if your priorities are straight. You can praise God in a bad marriage if your priorities are straight. You can praise God with a bad son or a bad daughter if your priorities are straight. You can praise God anywhere if you get it right. He said, don't rejoice about these other things. He said, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. What a blessing. All right. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, hast revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Here's another interesting thing. Paul says it this way, not many mighty, not many noble are called. He didn't say not any. That's why I got in. I'm one of the mighty and noble and that got in. But he didn't say not any, he just said not many. I'm glad that worked for you, brother. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. You know the problem with the wise and the prudent? They're too wise. They're too prudent. They're too smart. You know what? You really think you're smarter than the fellow down the road. You do. You think you make better deals on cars than he does. Oh yeah, I've heard you. I've done it myself. You think you bought your knife cheaper than the other fellow bought his knife. You bargained better when you went to Tom Benson. Man, I mean, you really worked, and boy, you got it. They didn't make any money on you. That is a joke, you know. They don't sell those things at a loss. How come they got so much money in so many dealerships? They don't sell them at a loss. You may think you're really making them hurt, but you're not making them hurt. We all have such pride that we think we're smart. Now, if you are smart as far as the world considers smart, then you got a real problem because your pride's on another level. All of us think that way. I'm a real religious snob. I think all the rest of them are wrong and I'm right. Pope's got nothing on me. Now, he ain't got nothing. He thinks he's the vicar of Christ on earth. I am. See, he thinks he is, but I am. I'm really the one that knows the truth. We, every single one of us, have this pride in us. We're a little world all to ourselves, and we have this pride, I am right. I have the truth. I'm smarter than my sister or brother or neighbor or friend. Isn't that the truth? We've got this down there. But now let's take a look at somebody. Let's suppose you're the youngest PhD ever to get a PhD. And you walk strutting through the college teaching your classes because you're the youngest PhD. So you think you're the smartest duck there is around. Are you going to listen to some little lady sitting in your class that never finished high school, got her GED and came to college? No, you're too smart. Are you going to listen to a preacher? No matter how much education he has, no matter where he came from, are you going to listen to a preacher on some ancient religion who's spouting Christianity that all the slaves and poor people hold on to? No, you're too smart. You're just too smart. You know too much. You know that evolution is right. When it's not. See, the problem with the mighty, the problem with the wise, is they're wise in themselves so much so they're wiser than everybody around them. They don't listen to anybody. That's their problem. They do have a problem that way. They don't listen to anybody. And he says, God has hidden it from them. You know what? They got a real problem. They can't see because of their pride. God Almighty takes a look at their pride and says, you're too proud. See, God hates pride. Do you reckon one ant is proud that he can carry more than another ant? You reckon? I see some ants carrying little bitty things and then other ants carrying great big things. You talk about strength. These guys with their muscles, you know, lift 400 and some odd pounds. Take a look at an ant. I mean, you know, 4 or 5 times, 6 times, 10 times their weight. They'll be walking along. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, you learn something. Not many wise, not many prudent. Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. What are you? You know, I'm very wise. I'm one of the wise ones. I'm one of the very prudent ones. I was real smart. I chose Jesus. You know what it says right here? You saved today. Your name's written in heaven. Because you're one of the babes. You're one of the simple people. One of the just average, run-of-the-mill people. And God, in His mercy, said, I'll save your soul. Let you have the truth. They're going to be plantation owners burning in hell. And they're going to be ignorant slaves that never learned to read or write. Going to be walking the streets of glory.
Amen.
One of the greatest things. The blacks can holler about slavery all they want to, but the blacks of America have it much better than the blacks of Africa.
Amen.
Thank God that you descended from some slaves that had the gospel. And one of the greatest things about slavery, I don't think slavery is good or right. I don't defend slavery in any way. But one of the greatest things about slavery is these people had no hope, but they heard the gospel. And many of them embraced the gospel. You know why prisoners get saved? There's probably a bigger percentage of prisoners that get saved than people on the outside. Probably. You know why? They got no hope. They're locked into a cell. They're locked into a place where all bad people are. Some of the guys that are real bad dudes, when they get into prison, they find out they weren't so bad after all. I mean, they're in with some really bad guys. I mean, you know, when you're a big fish in a little fish pond, you may look like the boss hog. But drop you into the lake, you'd just be eaten up and nothing flat. Take the biggest thing in the lake, drop him down to the coast, he's meat. That's all. Our pride. We're so foolish in our pride. I don't deserve this. I don't have to put up with this. I said that to God one day. I don't have to put up with this. And a little voice came in the back of my head and said, oh, yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. I'm thankful for every move God's ever made on me. I'm thankful for everything He's ever, every time He's ever whipped me. I don't want another whipping. I'm not looking for another testing, but I'm simply saying I'm thankful. He said He hid these things from the wise and prudent, revealed them unto babes, because it seemed good in His sight. Now look at verse 22. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whomever the Son will reveal Him. How do you get to God? We've all got the same God, don't we? Jews, Gentiles, Christians, Mohammedans, Buddhist. Let me tell you something. The only way you get to God the Father is through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. You go to God, bypass Jesus, you don't make it. Get that in your head. You say, that's very exclusive. That's not very ecumenical. And Mr. Hagee and Buckner Fannin and Bishop Flores wouldn't like that statement. We got a bunch of ecumenical people today. Everybody's seeking God. Everybody's finding God. Same God for everybody. Not according to that verse. Not according to this Bible. You get to God, you get there one way. Through Jesus Christ. There's not any other way. He says it right here. This verse right here is just very plain. All things are delivered to me of my Father. What have you got today? You got beauty. You have intelligence. You have money. You have blessing. You have a nice home. You have a good family. You have somebody that loves you. All things are delivered to me of my Father. If Jesus said that, don't you reckon you ought to recognize that what you got's from Him too? And no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father. How do we know that Jesus is God? Because it was revealed to us from the Father. Who the Father is but the Son? How do you know the Father? The Son's the only one that knows Him. And he to whom the Son will reveal Him. Where'd you find God? You found Him through Jesus Christ. And He turned Him unto His disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. I believe we ought to take that to heart. Boy, that just doesn't fit the disciples. That fits us. Blessed are your eyes that have seen the things you've seen. Everything you know about God comes from this Bible. Everything. You know Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Came from that Bible. You know he was born? Came that Bible. No, he died? Came that Bible. No, he was on a cross? Came that Bible. No, he sent it up into heaven? Covered the mercy seat up there with his own blood? Came that Bible. You know salvation is by grace, through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know it from that Bible. Blessed are your eyes. Blessed are your eyes. You've seen some things. You've seen some things. Now, he was talking about the miracles and everything that they were going to see. And he finishes up with the rest of that verse, or the next verse. Next verse, verse 24. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see the things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear the things which ye hear and have not heard them. Oh. Kings and prophets said, oh, I want to be there. I want to be there. I want to see it. They didn't get to see it. These disciples saw it. I'll tell you something. You're blessed. You know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior? You're blessed. Your name written in heaven? You are blessed. Start acting like it. Start talking like it. Start thinking like it. Why don't you accept it? One of the greatest blessings of my life? I just learned to accept that word. There was a time when the college and the cemetery got me to doubting the word. And I studied all sorts of garbage. And then, you know, took away my joy. I came back to this old book I got in my hands here. And you know, what a blessing just to trust it. I just trust it. I'm not questioning it. I'm not examining it. I'm not fighting it. Just trust it. And what a thing. Blessed are your eyes. You know what you've seen? What you've heard? What you've been taught? You're some of the most privileged people that ever walked the face of the earth. Lord bless you.